This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Tropical Depression Marco no longer much of a problem, but mandatory evacuations have begun in parts of Texas because of the approach of Hurricane Laura, which could be a very strong hurricane when it does arrive on the Gulf Coast, probably sometime tomorrow. Jefferson County Judge Jeff Barnick says residents in that part of Texas won't exactly be jailed if they don't follow orders to evacuate, but
they just need to know that when winds are at 120 miles an hour, we're not going to be in a position to go out and assist them if they need saving.
It's day two of the Republican National Convention. First Lady Melania Trump will speak from the newly renovated White House Rose Garden, and President Trump's expected to speak sometime during the broadcast tonight as well. And this is USA Radio News.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
President Trump says his administration is not getting rid of U.S. postal workers. In a pre-recorded meeting with essential workers at the Republican National Convention, the president said that he cares deeply about the U.S. Postal Service. He met with postal workers, police officers, registered nurses, and doctors to discuss the coronavirus pandemic. Protesters were in the streets again in Kenosha, Wisconsin, with cars set ablaze as rioters gathered in violation of a curfew order. Police using tear gas to try to disperse the protesters as demonstrators remain angered over the police shooting of a black man on Sunday. Jacob Blake was shot in the back 7 times as police responded to a domestic incident, and he was trying to get into a vehicle. He's now in stable condition in an intensive care unit. USA Radio News.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Dozens of COVID-19 cases across at least 7 states have now been linked to people who attended the Sturgis motorcycle rally. Health officials in South Dakota say 40 people who attended the rally have tested positive for the virus, including 3 residents of North Dakota, Washington, and Minnesota. Cases tied to the rally have also been confirmed in Wyoming, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. Some new travel restrictions from the CDC, as we hear from U.S. USA Radio's John Hunt.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention dropped its recommendations for travelers to quarantine for 14 days upon returning from trips overseas or out of state during the coronavirus pandemic. The CDC updated its guidelines on its website. Though the 2-week recommendation was changed, the federal agency did caution travelers that they can still contract the novel coronavirus while traveling. The CDC continues to recommend travelers wear masks indoors, wash hands, maintain social distancing guidelines, and monitor themselves for symptoms of COVID-19. They also state that traveling does increase your risk of contacting and spreading the virus, noting that staying home is the best protection from COVID-19 for yourself and others. If you must travel, the Federal Health Agency recommends travelers to check their recommendations on government websites for their destination, as well as any places they will be passing through during their trip.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. The co-chair of Black Voices for Trump, Pastor Daryl Scott, joins us now. Pastor Scott, honor to have you on the show. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for the invite.
Well, great to have you here to talk about, Joe Biden. The mainstream media is trying to run cover for him, particularly as you write about his disdain for black Americans. Tell our audience what you're seeing here.
Joe Biden's record on race is well documented. It really doesn't take a rocket scientist to discern or to deduce Joe Biden's opinions. And so, right now it seems as if his handlers are trying to discourage him from talking publicly because for whatever reason, we've been talking about Joe's mental decline. His mental decline seems to have affected his filter.
Yes.
The Bible says, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. His words are coming out of his heart, going straight out of his mouth without being processed through his mind. And every time he does that, he's revealing more and more about his inner character and his inner feelings, especially towards race. He's made some disparaging comments lately, one right after another after another. So it seems as if they decided this is going to have him on how in the NBA they have minutes restrictions for certain players?
Right.
they have him on a minute restriction for comments that come out of his mouth.
How are they going to control him with a 90-minute debate?
I don't know. Maybe they'll put a wireless earbud in his ear.
Oh, that's
an electric shock button.
Well, yeah.
They might swing him up, and they can press the button to shock him if he says something, or they can feed him content in his ears for what's to come out of his mouth, because otherwise that's a crap shoot if it ever was one. To have him up there unfiltered with Donald Trump going after him?
Right.
90 minutes, please.
Well, I've said, Pastor, that Donald Trump needs to be careful to some regard because some people might perceive this as elder abuse. I mean, seriously, because it's just not going to be a fair fight. I mean, let's face it. I mean, it's obvious that Joe Biden's synapses are not firing on all cylinders. I mean, there is something clearly lacking. I mean, to the point that even, the Democratic Party, a growing number of Democrats are saying that he clearly is demonstrating signs of some mental dementia.
Yes, he is. And, we're not trying to mock or ridicule him about that. There's something that a number of Americans suffer for. Heck, let me tell you something. I'm 62 years old. I'm not as sharp as I was at 32 years old. Every now and then, I got to say two or three different names before I get my grandbaby's names right. And so
that's like my dad. My dad, he had nine kids, and he would go, he would almost have to go down the list. And we had, that's me, you got the right one,
So. You know one thing it causes me to reflect and realize even more? The same way we have minimum age requirements in order to run for president, I think that we might have, unless you're an incumbent that we might have to put in some restrictions against, if you're a certain age, you're not allowed to run either. I mean, look at Joe Biden. Right now, he's, what, close to 76 years old or something
right.
like that?
Right, 76, yes,
and
exactly.
And he wants to run as a first-time president. If he does two terms, he's 84 years old. Mm. When he's out, when you look at guys like John Lewis that was 80 years old and still trying to run for Congress, there needs to be term restrictions in Congress and Senate, and there need to be age restrictions in presidency, not just the minimum age. But a maximum age as well. I mean, Joe, come on, now, go sit down. You've been in politics for 40 years. You made your mark. You need to go sit down. That's
right.
What you need to do, and watch this from the bleachers.
Well, that's what Barack Obama told him, did he not?
Yeah.
He said, Joe, you don't need to do this.
No, for whatever reason, he's trying to do it. He's certainly not trying to do it because he thinks he can better the country, because he's not even allowed to interact with the media.
Mm-hmm.
He's not allowed to interact with the general public except on a limited basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went and got this. Just shows you the shape of the Democratic Party, that Joe Biden is the only candidate they have that they think has a chance to win.
And then you bring the condition
of the party.
Exactly. And then you bring Kamala Harris, whose record, her voting record and policy support is so left. I mean, she's left of left. And you bring her into the mix. How is that going to help? And, you know, right now, some are going, uh-oh, because she's not moving the needle. They had hoped that she was going to move the needle on Black America, and she isn't moving it.
No, you know why? Because Kamala Harris is not a newly discovered, quote-unquote, starlet that's going to reinvigorate and energize and revitalize the Democratic Party. She's been around.
Right.
She's not a new unknown commodity. She's a new known commodity that couldn't push the needle or move the needle during the primary.
Exactly.
And so I don't understand why they thought her coming in, I mean, they had that one day of enthusiasm, like, yay, Kamala. Then the next day, reality sunk in.
Right.
And so I really don't understand that choice, why they thought that choice would invigorate the party. They would have been better off choosing Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, Tulsi or from Minnesota, Klobuchar. Either one of those two would have been better choices, but they're not interested in being moderate.
See, Joe painted himself into a corner
mm-hmm.
when he said that he wanted to choose a woman, so that narrowed his field of candidates to one gender, and then he allowed them to pressure him, especially after this George Floyd incident, into naming a Black woman. That narrowed his field of candidates even more, and it set off a search for, I called it token search. I mean, a token Black woman to stand next to Joe Biden, try to help him get the Black vote for no reason other than that. The main qualifications had to be Black, female.
Right.
And so right there, I find that somewhat offensive, somewhat demeaning. And it taints any candidates, it taints their resume, it taints their selection because, you know, someone could genuinely look at them and say, well, the only reason you were selected was not because of your acumen, not because of your qualifications. The only reason you were selected was because you're a Black woman.
Exactly.
And he felt that out of all the Black women that were on his list of candidates, you were the one that would most meet the need that they had. It is somewhat demeaning. I wouldn't even put myself into a competition like that. And if Trump did something like that and said, I need a black man, they would call that person a sellout.
Oh, gray matter would be exploding all over the place. But it's really rich, Pastor Scott, that you have a party that speaks of inclusion and racial balance and all this, and they do just the opposite. I mean, And of course, the mainstream media gives them a full pass. You know, people like you and me, we see this. It's so obvious. It really cheapens the position of the vice president and this candidacy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I understand why they won't allow either of them to field questions from the media, because they don't want to answer the tough questions because they have no answer for them. Kamala Harris stood in the primaries, looked Joe Biden in his face, and told him he was a racist. She said she was a victim of his racial experiences policies when she was young. She goes on to say that she believed his accuser when they accused him of being a sexual predator. She would have to answer for that. Why would you want to be this man's vice president now after the accusations that you made? They don't want to have to answer those questions. You know,
exactly.
I hear them saying about those on the right, like blacks on the right, Trump, by quote-unquote sellouts. I've been called one of them many a time. But I thought the definition of a sellout was a person who had compromised
yes.
their personal moral convictions for the sake of opportunity, for the sake of gain. That's
exactly.
what he's done.
Right. Got to go to break. We've got more from Pastor Daryl Scott after this. Stay with us.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
Gentlemen, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent we are, and we've got Pastor Daryl Scott with us. Pastor, you've known Donald Trump for a number of years, and, you know, give us some understanding of who Donald Trump is as a man and as a person who is, I think people are very surprised to appreciate that Donald Trump is more spiritual than they realize.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? This country is going to miss him when he's gone. I have a new book out called Nothing to Lose, Unlikely Allies in the Struggle for a Better Black America that you can pre-order on Amazon.com. It will be out within a month, and it details I first met Donald Trump in an impromptu prayer meeting. He was considering running for president in 2012, and he requested a mutual friend to gather some preachers that they felt were in contact with God so that we could pray on him, that God would give him the wisdom to make the right decision regarding whether or not to run in 2012. I guess God gave him the wisdom. He didn't run in 2012. He ran in 2016 instead, and he won. I often said it jokingly during the 2016 campaign that Donald Trump couldn't help but to win, because I've never seen any political candidate in any type of election get preyed on as much as I saw him get preyed on. Every time he turned around, Donald Trump was getting preyed on by ministers and men and women of God so that God would, you know, put him in that position. And so he's much more spiritual, but with him being the president of this country, he has learned to guard his words somewhat. If people would sit back and just enjoy this ride, he's not only made America great again, he's made America fun again. You wake up every morning, you want to watch the news because you don't know what he's going to say today.
Exactly.
And you know what? He's a great, great guy. He's the type of guy, president or not, I like him. I like being around him. He's a master at holding court. When he has his rallies, he's simply a big, mass court hold, and he has a lot of self-deprecating humor. And one thing I like about him, he doesn't take himself too seriously. He takes what he does very seriously. But him as a person, he doesn't take himself too seriously. Once again, he has a lot of self-deprecating humor. He's just a great, great guy, and he's a people person. And America is going to miss him when he's not president anymore. They'll look back in hindsight. History is going to treat him a lot kinder, especially with the number of accomplishments that he has.
Yeah.
The line.
Yeah. In the midst of impeachment, Russian collusion, all this interference, I'd maintain, Pastor, that if Donald Trump had a little bit of cooperation, our GDP, in, at least by year two, would have been upwards of 4%. But the Democrats did no favors for the American people whatsoever. This was all done by Donald Trump primarily as the cheerleader, because he even had to rally, the reticent Republican leaders as well, because they weren't sure that Donald Trump had the goods, but he's proven time and again. And this is one thing that I shared with a Tea Party group here recently in Florida. I said, what I appreciate, my takeaway from Donald Trump is that he sits in the truth. You know, it's like the book of Ephesians says, having done all to stand, keep standing, right? And Donald Trump does that. He stands on the truth. I mean, hey, the truth finds itself out, you know, just like when he first said, hey, look, at they surveilled me. They wiretapped Trump Tower and all the, you know, the FBI and Comey. And, oh, you know, you can't say that. That's not right. And the mainstream media, that's not right. And the whole deal. Well, he didn't use the exact technical terms. The bottom line was Trump Tower was being surveilled by our own government. He was more right than wrong. Just because he used the wrong words, somehow that was a problem.
You're absolutely right. They're trying to micro-analyze every single thing he says and hold him to a standard that they don't hold anyone else to. As you just stated, he said the right thing. He didn't use precise language in saying it, and they're trying to accuse him of being wrong. You know what? He reminds me of a runner in a race that won the race, but he was running with weights on his legs, ankle weights on, and arm weights on, and still found a way to win. They've done everything they can to hinder this presidency, and he's still pushing forward, making accomplishments. And you know what else I like about him? He doesn't let anybody see him sweat. You know, one thing I say about Donald Trump, but I've seen him a lot in public and in private, if he's having or had a bad day, he doesn't let anybody know it. He's able to conceal it very, very well. And they were like nothing, the media were like nothing better than to see him frustrated and see him depressed and see him dejected. And he doesn't allow them to see that. He keeps his game face on because he's a leader. And that's what leaders do. Leaders lead in spite of opposition, in spite of setbacks, in spite of adversity and antagonism. Leaders lead.
Amen.
And that's what he's done, and that's what
exactly.
He's doing. He's a leader.
Well, Pastor Scott, the country is in serious peril right now, regardless of Donald Trump. It has a heart issue, a moral issue, that it needs to reconcile with God Almighty, because that is the foundation. It is the basis of our Constitution, the basis of the American dream and our way of life. If we do not reconcile with God, we're in trouble no matter what. What do you say?
You're absolutely right. I mean, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. This country needs to reconcile with God, or the remnant of believers that are in this country need to continue to pray even more. I thank God we do have a president that respects Christianity, that endorses and advances the Christianity in this country. I thank God for that. I shudder to think if some of these other people had been in office, we would be in a lot worse shape than we are. But yes, there needs to be widespread repentance on behalf of this nation or any other nation.
Exactly.
To reconcile with the Lord. But there's still a remnant. And as long as there's a remnant in this country, we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of this world. Salt is a preservative in ancient times, and we are the believing presence in this nation. We're still the leading Christian nation on the face of the planet Earth. We're still the number one disseminators of the gospel of Jesus Christ on this planet Earth. We're still the largest Bible-producing nation that promotes and distributes the Word of God on this planet Earth. And so God's hand is still on us.
Yeah.
Because he has a believing remnant here. But the nation in mass as a whole is endeavoring to be led away by its leadership from God. And the leadership needs to repent, or the leadership needs to be removed so we can get godly leadership in place that will steer this nation in the right.
Well, I've been praying that we would realize what I call a Nineveh moment. You know, just like when Jonah went to Nineveh, taking a harsh message to the leadership. Thank God they received it, and repentance fell upon the country of Nineveh, and that's what I look forward to. A lot of people are saying we're praying for revival, but I said you have to have repentance before revival, and we need to be targeted to that focus, and for a time such as this, otherwise, heaven help us. But for people of faith. Pastors, we win either way because, if this country goes to hell in a handbasket, then what Billy Graham said in terms of America being in the last of the last days, and he rarely spoke about anything other than evangelism. He very rarely, went into the waters of the prophetic. But for him to make that statement, I thought was quite notable.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm in total agreement with you. But once again, as long as we have this remnant, as we have some believers here, we can hold back the forces of the enemy from having free course and free reign in our country.
Pastor Daryl Scott, an honor to have you with us. You're always welcome. If there's anything I can do to support your efforts and come alongside what you're doing for the remnant and people of faith, I'm with you 100%.
Well, thank you very much. I want to encourage your audience to follow me on Twitter, at Pastor D. Scott. And also, once again, if you can, I'll get a shameless plug in.
No, go for it.
Brand new book, Nothing to Lose, Unlikely Allies in the Struggle for a Better Black America. It gives a lot of behind-the-scenes details and conversations between Donald Trump and myself from the time I met him until now. And it has a lot of behind-the-scenes stories regarding people in the Trump orbit, like Michael Cohen and Omarosa, some previously unrevealed conversations and things like that. I think it'll be a very interesting read.
I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it. Pastor Scott, take care. Be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. That's 800-519-3488. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Tropical Depression Marco no longer much of a problem, but mandatory evacuations have begun in parts of Texas because of the approach of Hurricane Laura, which could be a very strong hurricane when it does arrive on the Gulf Coast, probably sometime tomorrow. Jefferson County Judge Jeff Barnick says residents in that part of Texas won't exactly be jailed if they don't follow orders to evacuate, but
they just need to know that when winds are at 120 miles an hour, we're not going to be in a position to go out and assist them if they need saving.
It's day two of the Republican National Convention. First Lady Melania Trump will speak from the newly renovated White House Rose Garden, and President Trump's expected to speak sometime during the broadcast tonight as well. And this is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. And we've got Jordan Abina with us. His new book, Thoughts of a Dying Worship Leader. Anybody that has been involved in worship can relate to what Jordan has, what he's experienced. He explains that reading 2 Chronicles 20 taught him he only needed to show up, worship God with his whole being in front of everyone, and let God move through him to reach his people. But he had to go through that desert experience to understand that whether he was in the desert or in front of a bunch of people, leading them to exalt the name of Jesus and to honor God, that God was right alongside you, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you having me on today.
Oh, no. Good to have you here to talk about your book. I got to tell you, I have a high regard and respect for worship leaders, because when, first of all, you're gifted enough, you know, to be able to play an instrument and you want to share and serve the body of believers, that is a special commitment. And you really put yourself in the deep end of the pool with crosshairs on your back, because guess what? The devil doesn't want you worshiping God.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, being a worship leader is a privilege and honor, and it's a burden sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been doing that since I was about 18 years old, and it's been a real pleasure, been a real journey, mm-hmm. you know, some ups and downs, but you know, it's a path you're walking with the Lord, and so any path really that you're on with Christ is going to be tested, and but ultimately Jesus is faithful. You know,
right.
He's able to bring us through anything we go through, and yeah, I love leading worship, and you know, I love music too. I talk about that. Not
exactly.
Everybody does, you know.
Right.
So, but that's all good.
So tell us your story. How'd that come about at 18?
Well, you know, I grew up in church. I didn't, but I would say Christianity was just kind of my moral construct. You know, I didn't love Jesus. My social
side was I had a school social group and church group, you know, and that was great. Mm-hmm. And but around the age of 17, I really had an encounter with Christ and really saw some people's lives change, really. I saw some people who I knew weren't Christian mm-hmm. get saved and start living for Christ, and I realized, wow, I don't actually think I am a Christian, you know, and started looking at who I was and all of that, and Christ really did a work in my life through the Spirit. And then, you know, just one, as I was involved with youth group, one day we were driving back from a snow retreat, and I was with my youth pastor, his name was Kyle, and I was in the front seat, and we were all singing some worship song, and you know, a big suburban full of high school guys, and mm-hmm. and he was driving, and I was screaming something, singing it, and he was like, "Hey, you're going to sing that tonight at youth group," and I was like, "No, I'm not," but you know, and he just kind of got me involved, and he created a place for me to learn guitar and start singing, and I did. And I've just been doing it ever since. I'm 34 years old now.
Well, good for you. Now, did you play any instrument before, or you just had a vocal talent
to begin with? I mean, I grew up listening to music. I mean, mm-hmm. I was listening to music at a very young age, but not really. I mean, maybe, I think my grandfather had an acoustic, but I never had been taught. I've never had formal lessons for anything. I just love to sing, you know, love music, been around music my whole life. And so picking it up, I'm not like a prodigy or anything as some people are, but it came relatively easy. I mean, I learned four chords and that about got you through about 75% of the worship songs available at the time. So it was for me.
mm-hmm. So as you start to do this, here the youth leader brings you on stage, gives you a place, and before you know it, I mean, you're in a position of responsibility. Now, did he share with you anything in terms of giving you an idea of what was going to happen when you found yourself on stage? And by that, I don't mean necessarily that you're in front of a bunch of people, but just in terms of the spiritual implication of it all.
Yeah, you know, I think not exactly, but he was up there with us, you know, mm-hmm. and so it was more of just, hey, we're doing this. And it wasn't just me, too. It was a bunch of other students. And I think there was a lot of power in being able to lead my own peers.
Yes.
You know, that was a learning experience. But, I mean, it didn't take long for me to realize that there was a level of responsibility here, even just so much as a young person with the Holy Spirit working in my own life. Mm-hmm. I realized I can't just live however I want and then come up here and pretend to lead people in the direction of Christ. You know, that's just not how it's going to work, and that's not how it's going to go. And, mm-hmm. and you know, ultimately I was in a discipleship process with my youth pastors and my youth group, and that was really beautiful. So it all kind of tied together. But it didn't take long, you know, to realize that worship is a pretty powerful tool that we've been given, a gift. You know, God did not have to make this thing up. He did not have to create music. He didn't have to even create it. And, you know, worship is more than music, but in the sense of what I wrote about, you know, this is all a gift. And so how we steward it and how we pursue it, it's very important. It didn't take me long to realize that everything was connected. You know, who I was on the inside mm-hmm. mattered, because, you know, leadership is an outside thing a lot of the times if you're in front of people. And, mm-hmm. you know, even just you know, Bill, like you have a podcast, a show, you know, so people are like, well, this guy's a leader, you know, and we don't even really have control of what people think about us once you kind of put yourself out there and start using your gifts. So it became very clear that who I was and as a Christian mattered in regards to the responsibility I carried for leading a song or two in front of 100 kids or something, you know, who mm-hmm. were my friends.
Right.
That was very important.
You and your four chords, huh?
Yeah, just that. Four chords and a capo. That's every worship leader's best friend.
Exactly. Well, and as you say, you know, there's something about worship that we realize is that we can't help but worship. We're going to worship something. It's our inner wiring that when you acknowledge that this is the way God has designed us, and because he's designed us that way, we can get tripped up and end up worshiping the wrong thing, right?
Yeah, it's so true. I was just reading this morning my scriptures in the Old Testament. It just, every time I go through it, it always boggles my mind. This king takes over and he doesn't follow the way of the Lord. This king takes over and he does. This king takes over and he doesn't. You know, just to your point, we are going to follow the ways of something and how we model and how we live our life, and that's worship, and it needs to be of the things of the Lord if we want to experience the fullness of life that Christ talks about.
Yeah, in that cycle of Kings that you refer to, it's interesting because usually it's a younger king who is being mentored by a priest, someone who is spiritual that can mentor them along, and they seem to be the ones who will get the nation back on track in worshiping God appropriately. But it doesn't take long, I mean, because then the next generation comes in, as you say, might be somebody a little bit older. They depart from spiritual ways, and they start seeing things according to their own eyes. I'm referring to Judges now, but still, the story is consistent in our humanity. I mean, as you read that, you realize, wow, you know, that could be me, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's important, I think, the thing you just said, too. I believe I was in 2 Chronicles 23 this morning, or 24, and I think it's Jehoda or is his name, and he took over, and it said that he was able to follow the ways of the Lord because he had spent time with Isaiah. You know, he was raised up with that, and I believe that's what it says. But it's true, you know, and that's a discipleship thing. You know, I think for me, the big part of how I've made it this long as a worship leader is because I've had people invest in me. Some of those people I've had to go get and pursue, and others have offered, but it's really true. Very important.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, this is, you know, you can't worship just by yourself. I mean, you can, but that's like going to battle by yourself. Why do you want to go to battle by yourself when you can conscript an army of faithful believers to come alongside to fight the good fight of faith, right?
Absolutely.
Therein lies the opportunity and the victory that is ahead. We've got more from Jordan Avina. We're talking about his book. It's Thoughts of a Dying Worship Leader. And we'll get more into that on the other side of the break. Stay with me. It's just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour. We've got more from Jordan after this.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever, 2.5 with a 2.52% APR. Incredible, with no origination fees or discount points. Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.5 with a 2.52% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again, so refinance it and forget it. That's a 30-year fixed at 2.5 with a 2.52% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
We're talking about thoughts of a dying worship leader with the author and worship leader himself. Jordan Abina joins us. Jordan, I will say, when I first came across your book, I couldn't help but relate to Matt Redman, who you probably are very familiar with as a worship leader, and wrote that iconic song, coming back to the heart of worship when the music fades. I take it as you were going through your experience as a worship leader, did anybody tell you that a desert could be in your future?
No, but I guess if I look back with hindsight, I should have seen it coming. Especially Toop and that Matt Redman song. I love that song. I grew up singing that song. And for me, it just came, and I talked about it in the book. I woke up one morning and just realized I'm just going through a routine, get up, get dressed, and getting up there on a platform, and as many worship leaders do. And then I just started kind of looking out. I don't know if you've ever experienced this where you're doing one thing, but you're having another conversation inside your mind.
Right.
And, I was kind of in that mode. I'm singing and then in my mind, I'm having this conversation with the Lord that sounded like, is this really it? Is this really what you want? Is this really what you had in mind as you have led us to a point of church and all these things? And so I just started doing that. I think the good part about it was I went to the Lord with it. I think too often sometimes we have frustrations or doubts and we go try to find the answer somewhere else. And I think I'm thankful to the Spirit who led me towards Him with it. But, for me, I was looking out at faces and I couldn't tell. Bill, I'm going, are these people here because they want to worship? Or did somebody trick them into coming into this building? Maybe they told them they're taking them to a movie or something. And then, boom, they're in church. And so I'm having this conversation with that sounded something like, God, am I successful? Am I winning? Are we winning? Is this working? And it just sent me on a journey that I don't know if it sent me on a journey, but it made me realize a little bit more that I was on one. Mm-hmm. And I just started really writing some of those things down. And I just started writing about the process God took me on.
Yeah. No, that's excellent because in this process you go through, like I said, most people, even no matter what, in any kind of, service or your walk in your Christian walk, you're going to come to those desert experiences, just like the children of Israel. I believe it's one of the reasons why it's there in the Old Testament is that often, for a while they spent so much time, overall 40 years in the desert, but a lot of times they were in Kadesh Barnea just kind of going in circles. And what God showed me is that the reason we was doing that is because there were lessons to learn. And, but when you sit there, especially as a worship leader, one of the big conflicts that I have become aware of is that you get that struggle of, is it performance-based or is it worship-based?
Absolutely.
And it's easy to get caught up in that because you get people, you know, that, oh, they love the way, you know, your worship and, you know, this sort of thing. And you start hearing that and sometimes you get in the way of God's glory. And that's when you can run into serious problems.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, most worship leaders, you know, they're musicians. They love music. They're artists. I think you can find artists in all shapes and sizes. But, you know, I started to realize that there's probably a way I could get people to respond based upon the music, the song choice, the volume, the lights, the order of service. But that really didn't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit necessarily. That's me figuring out a formula to get an emotional response. And I didn't want that. And I didn't want that for myself. And that just really troubled me, you know, and it was a crisis of belief. You know, that's what Henry Blackaby says in his book, Experiencing God, you know, you get to these crisis of beliefs and you have to let the Lord walk you through it. And that's where I was. And I found myself reading my Bible and I was in 2 Chronicles 20, which we talked about earlier. And it was that story of God's people being confronted with basically three separate armies. And King Jehoshaphat is king and they seek the Lord and they're totally outnumbered, outmatched. They're not going to win. And after seeking the Lord, God says, you know, I want you to go out there tomorrow, and the specific translation I have, ESV, says, take your position. And then he says, I'm gonna win this battle for you. And that's it. Now, you know, these are real people. These are real people. You know, and sometimes when we read scripture, I don't know, it's hard to see that, you know, every once in a while. We're so far from it. But these are real people. And it just dawned on me that because of the situation they were in, that there had to be some strong feelings because after they got the word, the king said, okay, I'm going to send the singers and the musicians out front and they're going to worship in front of the army, which it's not the only time you find that in scripture, but you ever go back to a scripture you've read a million times?
Yes.
And boom, that's because the Bible is a living and active, you know, it's always relevant, always ready to speak for those who want to listen. And that was where I was that morning. I wasn't seeking to get a word from the Lord about worship. Mm-hmm. And probably, to be honest, I was just checking off my devotional box that morning. But the Lord met me there and he showed me, Jordan, this is, if you're going to make it, if you're going to be able to lead people the way I want you to do it, this is how I'd like you to do it. And that's take your position on Sundays or whenever and worship, you know, in spirit and in truth, wholeheartedly, and let me take care of the rest, because this battle that you're trying to win, you're not capable of winning.
That's right.
It's never me that has ever once changed the heart of a person. Impossible. Mm-hmm. Even scripture says that even if a person is seeking the Lord, that's because the Father has already begun to draw on them and speak to them. And so I was starting to grade myself based upon response, which is a dangerous game. You know, not everybody responds the same. And I've never once been the person to change a soul. That's the work of the Lord. But the hard part, the challenge that came from the Lord from 2 Chronicles 20 was, it dawned on me that potentially maybe some of these musicians and singers didn't know if they were coming back. Yes, they had said that they were going to win the battle, but I don't know if it's clear in scripture that it says that anybody wasn't going to die. Mm-hmm. And if, I don't know about you, Bill, but if I'm out in front of the army holding a guitar and the other side has bow and arrow, I feel pretty vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly.
And like the Lord said, you know, I am going to win this battle. I am doing the work, regardless of if you show up or not. I am doing work in people's lives. But if you want to be with me, you need to be on the front lines. Mm-hmm. You need to think of it as a one-way trip and worship like that. And that really was a challenge. And that changed a little bit in me and a lot of it in me, I would say, but made all the difference, you know. And so kind of I shared that with our team after a while. And sometimes we just say, all right, one way trip, you know, which has meant even more to us now as we're having struggles with churches meeting and all that stuff. Really, the call has remained the same. We have to show up, take our position, worship. Basically, the scripture says that the song they sang was give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. I mean, that doesn't even sound like a fighting song to me.
Right.
It's not. It's just a declaring what they know to be true about God and taking them at his word. Mm-hmm. And that was what God did. And that just, man, that just uncorked all types of thoughts. And I got to go back and write about my experience and challenge some things about worship in this book. And like I said, that's where the title came from. Thoughts of a Dying Worship Leader isn't that I'm dying. It's that worship leading, I'm doing it like a one-way trip, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's you and me, Bill, on the front lines walking towards this army, this challenge that we know right. We can't win, but God promised that we could. And we're sharing stories. We're sharing what God has done, and we're getting ready to sing and do battle.
Yeah, more of him, less of us, dying of self. That's mm-hmm. the tough dichotomy mm-hmm. in this human perspective that we live. You know, when talking about the worship leaders that were, you know, the point men of battle, you know, you think about it. And the amount of faith, as you said, you know, it's like, can you imagine the priests go, okay, all the worship leaders, you're up in front. You say, what?
Exactly.
Yeah, come on. You're kidding me, right? No, that's where God wants you to be. You're up in front. Okay. And so here they are. And then coming out of the experience on the other side, because by faith they went to the front. And how did God bless them in realizing that they were taken care of? And that's not to say, because the Bible doesn't say ever, as you point out, that a worshiper was, you know, they were all saved, all worshipers were saved, or, you know, some died. There's nothing said about that. But yet, as you realized, here you go, hey, one way, here we are, we're having done all to stand, we're going to keep on standing. And God has honored that in such a remarkable way that I got to imagine the revelation that you got through this process was so immense, and that you're certainly not the worship leader that you were prior to this journey.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. And it was a blessing. And one of the things I think was most a blessing to me is God spoke to me, just me, you know, mm-hmm. through his word about something I was going through. And I wanted to make sure that came through clear in the book. Like, God wants to speak to you about where you're at and what you're doing. You would seek him. And I think you hit right on the part that was so intriguing to me about the passage. As if I were there, I talk about it in the book. I'm like, hey, listen, on paper, this is a bad idea. It is a bad idea to send a bunch of musicians, artists, all us angsty people up to the front lines.
Right.
You battle. It's not our place. And that's right. True in the earthly sense, but not when it comes to the things of the Lord. Not Ephesians 6, when we realize, oh, our battle is not just against flesh and blood. And I talk about that in the book. Like, I wonder how many musicians didn't go. You know,
right.
How many just said, no, mm-hmm. this is crazy. I'm not doing it. And you talked about that going and coming. And in the book, I talk about how much of a difference the walk there must have felt than the walk back. You know, walking there, wow.
Amazing.
Well,
that's great. Hey, Jordan, we got to leave it there. Congratulations on the book. Book available at all the usual places, right?
Yes, sir.
And we're going to link it on our website, Thoughts of a Dying Worship Leader. Jordan Abina has been our guest here on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Jordan. God bless.
If you have a pain in the neck,
ugh.
A real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the U.S. USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Anytime.